Bueno, muy buenos días de nuevo. Y ya sin más dilación, me permito llamar la atención de todas y todos ustedes para comenzar con la ponencia de la profesora Susan Dealey, que además, pues por determinadas circunstancias tendrá que dejarnos una vez termine su ponencia para regresar, pues por un importante motivo, como es la boda de una hija.
Your doctor tomorrow, the wedding day,
oh, yes, is
important.
Yes.
Entonces, bueno, pues esto es un poco lo que condiciona su presencia entre nosotros. Pero quiero realmente agradecerle los esfuerzos que ha hecho para estar hoy con todas y todos nosotros. Y simplemente les voy a leer algunas notas de su largo y de su amplio currículum vitae. También nos acompaña María, que nos va a ayudar pues en algún momento a hacer algún énfasis o a dejar constancia de alguna idea fundamental que no quiere la ponente que se escape, puesto que además de que muchas y muchos de ustedes saben inglés, pues la propia presentación también ayuda, pero en todo caso no queríamos dejar nada pues al azar, y para promover la mejor comprensión es por lo que le agradecemos también a María su colaboración con nosotros, que ya no es la primera vez tampoco. Bueno, Susan Dealey es una importante profesora, pero sobre todo investigadora en el ámbito del aprendizaje-servicio y fundamentalmente en relación con lo que antes comentábamos sobre la conexión entre la universidad y el desarrollo de la comunidad. Ella es profesora de la Escuela de Ciencias Sociales y Políticas de la Universidad de Glasgow en Escocia. Sus intereses de investigación se proyectan en estas mismas líneas que acabamos de mencionar, relacionando aprendizaje y enseñanza en la educación superior, sobre todo en relación con el aprendizaje-servicio, su evaluación y correspondientes feedback, sin dejar tampoco de prestar atención al aprendizaje colaborativo que se implica en esa misma línea. A través de su trayectoria profesional, pues ella ha publicado muchos artículos en importantes revistas y fundamentalmente, aunque no solo, pero fundamentalmente en torno a esta temática. Realmente la razón de que nosotros la hayamos invitado tiene que ver fundamentalmente con algunos de sus libros, uno de los cuales, por cierto, está traducido al español con el título El aprendizaje-servicio en educación superior, teoría, práctica y perspectiva crítica, creo recordar, en la editorial Narcea, creo recordar que es. Your book translated in Spain is in Narcea in Madrid. Muy bien, pues fundamentalmente sería muy prolijo daros cuenta de sus otras contribuciones, pero realmente lo que sí se puede decir es que el mundo se lo conoce bastante bien, puesto que uno revisa su currículum y no encuentra más que contribuciones en los más variados países de los 5 continentes. Así que, además de ser premiada en su propia universidad y en otras por determinadas contribuciones que tienen que ver con la proyección que ha hecho, que sigue haciendo y que esperamos que siga en el futuro del aprendizaje-servicio. Y por lo tanto, estas son las notas fundamentales que han promovido la invitación y la amable aceptación por su parte para estar hoy con todas y todos nosotros. Por lo tanto, yo ya le cedo la palabra a Susan Dealey, no sin agradecerle muy expresamente. Thank you very much for your kindness coming here today.
Thank you very much for inviting me here. It's a great honor and a great pleasure also to be here today, so thank you. And as Miguel has said, I have to speed off after this because I must get back to Scotland as my daughter, as you said, is getting married tomorrow. So I'm going to talk about service learning and what we can learn from it, and I believe it can contribute to sustaining the future quality in our universities. But before I do that, not sure how to. Before I do that, I just want to tell you a little bit about my home university and the context of service learning, because it's very much about the resilience and adaptability of service learning, how it's persevered over the years. I've been teaching service learning since 1998, and it wasn't very much accepted at the university at that time, but over the years it has become recognised and acknowledged for the benefits that it gives our students. The University of Glasgow was founded in 1451, so it's 567 years old. I think it's very similar to the university here. It's the fourth oldest university in the English-speaking world, and Scotland has four ancient universities, and Glasgow is one of them. And we have over 23,000 students. So service learning is unique unique offering at Glasgow, and it does attract international students as well as mainstream, being in the mainstream curriculum. I teach it. It's based in my subject area, which is social and public policy, and that's in the School of Social and Political Sciences within the College of Social Sciences. And service learning is recognised and acknowledged more, as I said, at the university, because I think it links with work-based learning, and it's recognised as a way that students are able to develop their employability skills and graduate attributes. It's more than academic work. It is more fulfilling other aspects of students that need to have their skills when they graduate. And the university is very keen to promote these particular skills, but I'm going to come back to that in a moment. What I plan to do, first of all, is to give you a brief introduction to my talk, and I'm going to make some observations, I think, about the pressures I believe that universities are under. And I want to put forward the premise that service learning can actually alleviate some of these pressures. And that's because I believe it is so versatile and adaptable, as I said. So I'm going to talk about service learning itself, and I'm going to pull out some of the main features, the essential nature of this pedagogy. And here this is about the progressive pedagogy, a progressive education, about students' active learning and their civic engagement. And I'm sure many of you will be familiar with these aspects, the benefits of service learning. So I think, yes, service learning is good for students. I think it's good for communities, but I think it's also good for universities. But I don't think we should rest on our laurels, so to speak, about how wonderful service learning is or can be, because it's always important to maintain a critical view of it, to keep a realistic perspective of what it can achieve. But I think we're in a fortunate position in teaching service learning, because we are already stepping outside those conventional boundaries of traditional learning and teaching. And I think we can use this advantage, our position in service learning pedagogy, to push forward beyond the traditional learning and teaching, to experiment with, if you like, to bring in innovations in service learning pedagogy. And that's the third part of my talk that I want to say today, the quality, trying to sustain the quality of university education through service learning. So what I'm saying here, I think, is that we are in a privileged position in teaching service learning, because we have lots of opportunities to develop the way we teach and the way students learn. And then finally, I'm going to bring this together as a summary, but also as a springboard to go into the future, about the future quality of our education in terms of what service learning offers, but also what it can offer And it's, I think, about making this pedagogy more robust, how it can be developed even further. And I've made some suggestions along these lines.
Un resumen cortito. Susan quiere que sepamos que cuando ella comenzó e implementó el aprendizaje al servicio en 1998, pues no se reconocían los beneficios y es un proceso que ha tardado muchísimos años y muy poquito a poco. Susan es profesora de Ciencias Políticas en la Universidad de Glasgow y dice que este compromiso cívico del aprendizaje de servicios atrae a muchos alumnos extranjeros y que ayuda a aliviar muchas presiones que hay en las universidades. Y aunque hay que ser realista, sí hay que ir más allá siempre de los tradicionales métodos pedagógicos que ya conocemos. Y ya. Es lo más importante.
Thank you. So to begin the introduction, I think it's essential that universities maintain their quality provision, both through research, through learning and teaching. And indeed, all we have to do is look at the league tables across countries, within countries indeed, to see the competition that exists between them. Who's ranked top, who's in the top 100 best universities, and so on. And one of the pressures, I think, is that we have benchmarks. We have measures of quality, and of course these affect things like funding, they affect prestige, and they affect the number of students who will apply to you to our universities. So alongside the Research Excellence Framework in the UK, we have what's called a Teaching Excellence Framework, we call it TEF, but also we gauge what our students are experiencing every year through the National Student Survey. There's a postgraduate equivalent called the Postgraduate Taught Experience Survey, and for international students as well, we have the International Student Barometer. And against that backdrop of providing evidence of good teaching, we could also argue that universities also have a fundamental civic responsibility to engage with communities. And I think also it's important that universities ensure that their graduates are critical thinkers, they are active citizens with skills and attributes that enhance their employability. And also from a student's perspective, having to pay high fees to attend university, perhaps having years of debt, having to repay loans after graduation for their university education, it is vital that they have an excellent experience. And in this climate of economic austerity, there is a lot of competition for graduate jobs. And I think students need to have more than just a degree. They need to show on their CVs that they have experience, work-based experience, to be able to show their future employers that they have developed certain skills. And this is where service learning, I think, fits the bill, so to speak. It can provide excellence in learning and teaching. It can nurture students' citizenship and community engagement. And it can also bring along employability skills and attributes. Do you want to say more?
Bueno, anteriormente pues puso los barómetros por los cuales medimos la calidad de la enseñanza y como sabemos, bueno, pues esas son las medidas para mantener esa calidad. Y en este clima de austeridad que tenemos ahora mismo, la competencia para nuestros estudiantes, para tener acceso a estos trabajos, es muy importante estas ventajas que les proporciona el aprendizaje de servicios. Es un plus muy importante para ellos.
Okay, so if we turn now to look at the second part of my talk, which is about students' civic, active learning and civic engagement. And I think given what I've just said, that it's not surprising that service learning is becoming more popular and widespread globally. Perhaps it's not as widespread in Europe and the UK as perhaps the United States of America, but also it is developing in South America, in Africa, and further east to the Asia-Pacific region. And given that there are such diverse areas of service learning, that there are different types of service learning as well. As far as, just to give you a little bit of background, my own service learning is about citizenship. And students learn about the theories of citizenship and go into the community and work with different areas of welfare. But there can be some conflation, I think, between citizenship education and service learning. I think there is a difference. One could say, I think, that service learning is a form of citizenship education, but not all citizenship education is service learning. So there are lots of definitions of service learning. What I prefer myself is to say that it's normally a credit-bearing course, and it involves student service to the community and their engagement in reflection on this activity, which involves connecting it to the academic component of the course. And basically, I think this makes service learning unique. It's because the community must benefit from students' activities, and students learn from those experiences in the community. This is the uniqueness. It isn't merely work-based learning. It's more than that. It's about community and civic engagement. So students' work in the community must be meaningful. But of course, it's always very difficult, I think, for students to learn from this. How do students learn from their unstructured experiences and connect that to the academic coursework? And this is where we have a role as teachers to guide students with care, facilitating their critical thinking, their critical reflections. I think critical reflection is a critical thinking skill, and as such, it must be taught. It must be taught explicitly, overtly, and students must learn to reflect in a structured way, but also they must learn to disengage from critical reflection. That is something that I have learned. And just to give you a little anecdote, it's like a tool, like a hammer that you might give a small child. They start to learn how to use this skill, and they want to hammer everything. And I think the same is true of critical reflection. My students have found that some of them have started to reflect on all aspects of their lives, so much so that they said it turned their world upside down. This was a small research project that I undertook. They said it was daunting and frightening. And I think it's wise for us to be aware of this so that we can teach students to disengage from this skill as well. But having said that, critical reflection is very important, and it brings with it awareness and the recognition of possible root causes of social ills. And this can ultimately lead to students' critical consciousness. The ultimate aim, I think, would be to find out, to think what is a good society, and to bring that about through social action. And I think in this way, if we look at service learning in this way, then it can be within the framework of critical pedagogy. And of course, this is influenced by Paulo Freire. Study Paulo Freire's works, we look at pedagogy of the oppressed, and this informs the academic component of the course, that students then can reflect on areas of oppression and discrimination that they see in society. As Paulo Freire has said, all education is political, and whether we engage in social action or whether we don't, we are still making some kind of political statement. We cannot be neutral. He said, washing one's hands of the conflict between the powerful and the powerless means to side with the powerful, not to be neutral. So I think this is about democratizing the classroom. And I think the powerful effects of service learning can be traced to how students actually learn when they're engaged in this pedagogy. Of course, there are intellectual developments, which I would expect in any academic course. So Service learning brings together different aspects, the cognitive, the cognitive, and the affective. So as well as the cognitive, there is also the dimension of the cognitive, the doing, the being, the giving service in the community. And also with that, there is the role of emotion. This is what students feel when they see for the first time. Maybe women who have been abused, or maybe elderly, frail elderly people, or asylum seekers. There is an emotional element. And I think all of these things make service learning so powerful. Students learn, I think, at a very deep level because they're engaged in it holistically, all together. And on top of that, they also learn skills. They're out in the community, they're in a workplace, they're bound to learn skills. And this, I think, is what makes service learning a very powerful pedagogy. Now, it's all of these factors together, I think, that can be replicated. This is what's going on in the community in service learning. And my suggestion is that we should be replicating this, we should be mirroring this, reflecting it in the classroom itself. And that, I think, would make service learning a much more robust or rigorous pedagogy and would be conducive for sustaining the quality in our in this form of education in our universities.
Bueno, ha dicho muchas cosas, pero que este concepto se está extendiendo, como sabemos, a nivel global. Involucra a los estudiantes este servicio en la comunidad para que se conecten de alguna forma con componentes que luego pueden traer a su campo de estudio. Dice que un problema que los alumnos reportan es que les cuesta mucho desconectar después de estas reflexiones críticas y que empiezan a valorar pues todos los aspectos de su vida, no solamente a nivel de comunidad, y que es muy importante, dice Susan, que aprendan a desconectar. Este aprendizaje debe de reflejar siempre, también dice, lo que está pasando directamente en nuestra comunidad. Y luego creo que... I think your PowerPoint was fine with
okay.
The connective and everything else.
Oh, that's fine. Okay, thank you. Okay, so moving on to the third part. Looking at the quality of university education and thinking about how service learning can be improved. How can we develop this through innovations? I think it is important that we don't remain complacent, that we strive to improve at all times. And I think it's useful to have good opportunities for research and educational research involving service learning. And here I think there's a role for the universities here to support us in providing funding and opportunities and coming together like today where we can share ideas with each other. I think perhaps service learning is past the stage of questioning, does it work? I think it is quite clear that it is very powerful. But I think we ought to push it, to push service learning beyond the boundaries. I think also it can influence other teaching, more conventional or more traditional learning and teaching. And I'm saying this because I've got first-hand experience. Being a teacher of service learning has allowed me the freedom to think about alternative ways of learning, to try to understand how students learn from their experiences, to think about assessment, what are the more appropriate forms of assessment in service learning, because I'm not convinced that an exam is necessarily the best form of assessment of experiential learning. So that has allowed me the freedom to experiment, and the methods that I have tried, it now influence my more traditional learning and teaching. So I think, although not everyone has to engage in service learning, I think the ideas from service learning can be borrowed to inform traditional learning and teaching, and in that way I think is much more sustainable for the quality of our education in universities. And just to give you a couple of months ago I was giving a talk about service learning in a different university in Scotland. They had no idea what service learning was, but some ideas from my talk, someone said, I can use that to influence my own teaching. And that, it's interesting, I think, because that part was about the reflection and how to reflect, because reflection is important in professional practice. Indeed, I actually use similar methods for a reflective practice course that I teach in something that's nothing to do with service learning. It's a housing policy master's degree. So I think it shows you that service learning can be adapted in different circumstances. So I want to tell you about two examples of innovations that perhaps we could think about and maybe you may inspire you to take forward or develop or think about your own practice. In the UK, there are some learning and teaching developments, one of which is in higher education, that is, and one of this is partnership, the concept of partnership. It's been termed staff-student partnership, and Cook, Sather and others define it as a collaborative, reciprocal process through which all participants have the opportunity to contribute equally, although not necessarily in the same ways. Partnership engenders trust and respect, shared power, risks, reciprocity, and mutuality. Now, the point here is that although this is a new idea coming forward in learning and teaching, these ideas are already embedded in service learning. I think that's really interesting. The fact that what we're doing already in service learning is seen as something new in more traditional learning and teaching. And just to explain this a little further, if we look at service learning, we can see the relationships, different relationships, we could say are partnerships, because we have the university and the community, academia and the community. That's on a sort of macro level, an overarching level. And on a meso level, on a middle level, we have a relationship between students and the voluntary organisations, or students and the community. That could be seen as a partnership. And also there's a partnership between staff and students, and also between students themselves. And I've got two examples. Staff and students, I engage with what's called summative co-assessment. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. And also peer learning, students learning from each other as in partnership. So peer review, peer learning. So to give you an example of staff-student partnership, this is from my own practice. Part of the assessment of my course is that students must give a presentation. They must give an oral presentation, and in this they must critically reflect on the skills and the attributes that they have developed while giving service to the community. Now, each student then self-assesses their presentation. We use a template that talks about the content and delivery, but there's also a space where students can critically reflect and give evidence to justify their assessment. And I do exactly the same. And then together I meet with each student, and I give feedback, we talk about their presentation, and then we agree a mark. Now, these students are final year students, and this mark does contribute towards their degree classification. So students are actually contributing to their final degree. So the mutually agreed mark, as you'll see here, counts towards 10% of the student's course grade, and 2.5% towards their final degree classification. It's a low-risk assessment, but it has a huge impact on students because they are becoming more responsible. They are taking responsibility for their own learning, taking ownership, and that is unique in the university, where they can actually contribute to their own degree classification. And to improve this method, I now use technology, so students' presentations are video recorded, which means they can have some time to look at their presentation, they can reflect on that, And the video file can be sent to an external examiner as well. What's innovative, I think, as well about this particular form of assessment contests what others have said about assessment, that Price and others have said that where summative marks are given, where the final marks are given, there is, they say, and always will always need to be, a clear divide between assessor and assessed. But hey, here we have an example where that clear divide is now blurred. So in a sense, this is innovative practice through service learning. It would not have been able to do this, I don't think, without service learning. So what I'm saying here is that service learning is already conducive to partnership, to a more democratic classroom where we can exercise that partnership working. And the reason why we might do that is that it can contribute to students' enhanced learning and deeper understanding and further engagement. So the idea of partnership, I think, exists in the core assessment. Partnership also exists between students in cooperative learning, and that can be within the classroom, through assessment, such as peer review. So I come to the second example that I wanted to give you about innovative practice, and that is the use of technology. We're using technology more and more in our everyday lives. We are using it also in learning and teaching. As I mentioned before, I now use technology to enhance the assessment through video recording my students' presentations. But I also use technology to give students audio-visual feedback on their work, and also when they're writing reflective journals, they can communicate with me online so I can give them feedback to help them draft their writing of their journals. But technology in the space where it is used to enhance active learning, I think, is also compatible with this notion of partnership and the idea of creating a community within the classroom where students can work together cooperatively. This is about bringing citizenship into the classroom, and I think it replicates what students are doing outside the classroom as well, and this will strengthen what service learning is about. And to give you an example of this, this is a classroom that I use in Glasgow. It's a pilot room. It's a new room for technology. It's called Technology Enhanced Active Learning, or TEAL for short. And the university is building a new learning and teaching building. It's going to have lots of these spaces where there's technology being used, but also active learning. And that is what service learning is. It's active learning. So this room, rather than having students in rows and I'm giving a lecture, what happens is students are put around tables, and all these tables are connected to the screens, and the teacher's place, the podium, is in the middle, the center of the room. There's another view of that room. You'll see the big screens as well, and the teacher stands in the middle. Now, it's very difficult to give a lecture when you're standing in the middle, because you always say, obviously, have your back to some people. And to do this effectively, I flipped my classroom. And flipping a classroom is to video record lectures, and that is what I did. I video recorded my lectures, and students could see these online before coming to class. And then when we came to class, we had 2 hours of interaction. And each of these groups was almost like a learning community in itself. I would walk around the class and join discussion groups, and then we would have a big class discussion. So from the little learning communities, we had a bigger learning community, and this, in a sense, mirrored what was going on outside. This was for the academic component of the service learning course, I should add here. So my relationship with students changed. Instead of standing apart from them, I was working alongside them. I did a little bit of research on this, and the students said that it was less of a power relation between the teacher and the students. It was a bit more like a plain level. This is what Paulo Freire was talking about, and he's talking about democratizing the classroom, and John Dewey as well. It's about being together in a community. And another student said very nicely, I would say that this is a cooperative learning community, an environment. I think community is a good word for it, and I agree with her. So I think this is really an ideal situation for service learning. We can walk the walk and talk the talk, so to speak. As I said, what's going out in the community is also happening in the classroom. And I think doing this enables service learning to be truly a pedagogy for citizenship. So this brings me to the final part. Do you want to say
yes,
any more?
You'd like me to? Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Bueno, pues Susan comenta de cómo podemos mejorar el aprendizaje de servicios y dice que aquí en Santiago tenemos muy buenas oportunidades para promocionar a través de la universidad y a nivel de nuestros profesores en las aulas que pueden adaptar e introducir este concepto con otros métodos más tradicionales. Dos ejemplos que pone de esta innovación es la asociación directa entre profesor y alumno. ¿Y cómo hacen esto? Pues hay una presentación oral que el alumno valora él mismo y critica, y después alumno y profesor pues acuerdan un resultado o una nota concreta sobre esta presentación oral, y todo esto cuenta pues hacia el grado final. Y también el uso de tecnología, como visteis estas nuevas aulas que tienen en la Universidad de Glasgow, donde graban la presentación y pueden comunicarse con el profesor online en todo momento y entre los alumnos ellos mismos en las aulas. Los alumnos comentan que se sienten mucho más cercanos al profesor cuando este profesor está pues, justo en el medio del aula y no arriba en un podio como estamos ahora nosotros. Y creo que nada más. Susan.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. So this brings me to the fourth and the final part of my talk, which is about the future and what lessons are there to learn. What can we take from service learning? Well, I think service learning is a rich experience for many students in many ways, and there is plenty of evidence going back many years to show that students learn at a very deep level. And I think that goes back to what I was saying about the role of emotion in learning and doing, going and giving service, as well as learning from the academic coursework. So they develop intellectual skills too. And of course, they're out in the community. Students are helping people. It's about nurturing citizenship, becoming active citizens. And although we might say, well, we would like students to be involved in social action and changing the world, I think these are quite lofty aims. But maybe students, once they graduate and become have positions of power perhaps in society, they will be in a position to enact change, even if maybe it's limited as students. They may be, at some point, be able to do that. Also, the skills, I think, are tremendous, the amount of skills they can learn, even if it's communication skills, and improving those. And, of course, developing critical consciousness, which is so important. It has so many benefits. The very nature of service learning, I think, sets it apart from other forms of field education, internships, or other placements, because it's about reciprocity. It's about mutuality. So the community must benefit as much as the students benefit. And in doing that, it fulfills some of the civic responsibilities of the university. And it helps to build a good, active citizenry. And I think this can be taken further, especially if it is taught overtly as a critical pedagogy. This idea of helping to, or facilitating the raising of students' awareness and helping them towards achieving some level of critical consciousness, challenging assumptions about why society is the way it is, maybe helping to try to change it. So even after graduation, that is not the end of it. Students will continue to be good citizens and challenge the inequalities and injustice wherever they can. And considering the positive and the beneficial aspects of service learning, and given that it can be utilised across university curricula because it is multidisciplinary, I think it would be useful to continue to share and disseminate good practice in this pedagogy widely with colleagues from different subject disciplines. And as I said earlier, even if it is not instigated in certain areas, then people can learn from service learning. They can borrow ideas from service learning to apply in more traditional contexts. And I think one of these examples is partnership working. The idea of partnership can be developed further. It could be also using technology, service learning can be developed further. And the idea of partnership with communities, I think, could be developed further. I think that's under-researched at the moment. There may be ways in which communities can work with students to think about learning goals, to think about what kind of skills do students want to learn, and then maybe that could be a theme within the service. And another example is developing the use of technology-enhanced active learning. Students are already engaged in active learning. This is about experiential learning. And I think we need to ensure that we offer students opportunities to be more actively engaged wherever they can, not just in the community, but as I said, within the classroom itself. But it's important, I think, that universities also have a role to play in supporting and funding opportunities for pedagogical research and the scholarship of learning and teaching in service learning. And I think all of these strands together would contribute to the overall quality of higher education. So in summary, the issues I've raised and referred to here, I think, refer to some lessons that I think we can learn. And I presented these in the form of recommendations. So these recommendations, I would say, would continue to widely disseminate good service learning practice with colleagues, and to think about and explore how service learning can be adopted across university curricula. I think it's quite often based in the social sciences, but it can be spread further, and more traditional learning and teaching, I think, can borrow ideas, especially the reflective practice. I think that is something that some courses could use. I think also to develop the idea of partnership. As I said, it already exists, but it could be made more explicit in service learning. It could be researched further. And, of course, the use of technology, exploring how we can use this more meaningfully within assessment and feedback, and also for other areas of service learning. And, of course, I think it's always important to actively seek university funding opportunities. I think, as I said, universities also have a role to support staff in this respect for educational research projects with service learning. So I'd just like to end here and thank you for your attention, and I'm very happy to take any questions. Thank you.
Bueno, muchas gracias, Susan, por esta sugerente intervención, conferencia, a propósito de la experiencia, the experience of service learning in your country, in your university. Hemos tomado seguramente nota, porque la mayor parte de los que estamos aquí, pues sabemos un poco de aprendizaje-servicio, y yo quería animaros a que hagáis cualquier pregunta o cualquier comentario, porque ha hecho una serie de recomendaciones que seguramente nos recuerdan a nosotros pues estas específicas dificultades que a veces podemos encontrar o encontramos directamente a propósito de cómo favorecer, cómo fomentar el aprendizaje-servicio en, no solo en la universidad, sino también, por ejemplo, en la educación secundaria, pero en este caso y en esta ocasión nos referimos sobre todo a la universidad, ¿no? I'm talking about difficulties in to enhance the service learning in our academic context. In this sense, it's very interesting your mention of the technology. Es decir, que a mí lo que me parece importante es que, entre otras cosas, nos pongamos a pensar de qué manera, si la tecnología es tan importante, digamos, en los usos y costumbres de nuestros jóvenes, cómo no solo el desarrollo, sino la evaluación del aprendizaje-servicio también va a tener que empezar a pasar por la tecnología y por el uso de la tecnología en los estudiantes universitarios, y sobre todo en ese marco de conexión entre lo que pasa en las aulas o laboratorios, lo que pasa en la realidad social. Así que, bueno, yo lo que quería era poner de manifiesto que efectivamente la realidad del aprendizaje-servicio puede ser un tanto variada en los distintos países, pero habéis podido comprobar cómo lo que nos ha comentado es prácticamente lo que nosotros, digamos, también tenemos en mente a propósito de lo que está ocurriendo en España o en nuestras universidades. Desde luego, en la Universidad de Santiago yo me he sentido bastante identificado por algunas de las cuestiones que ha planteado. También me gustaría dar la bienvenida especial a aquellos de vosotros que estáis colaborando con proyectos, que habéis planteado ideas, proyectos que se están desarrollando, que se van a desarrollar, y que incluso tienen su proyección en los propios pósters que están mostrándose en el pasillo de la EGAP. Así que si queréis hacer, por favor, alguna intervención, alguna pregunta, algún comentario, ahora es la ocasión. Basta que uno empiece para que luego haya más. Adelante.
María. Morning. My name is Alma Gómez and I'm from the Vigo University. And my field of experience is related with technology. So that I am very interested in what can be the experience you have about the use of technology in this environment, how technology has contributed to develop, if you have some particular experience or an example you can give us. Okay, thank you.
Okay, technology, I use technology in different ways. One example, as I said, was to record students' presentations so that they are more able to assess themselves. I've used something called Camtasia, not sure if you're aware of that, for giving audio-visual feedback on students' work for the academic component of the course. We use our university's virtual learning environment. We use Moodle, I'm not sure if that's used here, and Mahara, which is it's almost like a personal space they can use to log and record their own experiences while they're in the community, and I can access that, and we can have a conversation. I can have individual conversations with students online to give them feedback, to help them with their reflections and suggest academic work at the same time. Trying to think what else I do. I think using the room, that technology-enhanced active learning space, the TEAL room, is really good because students can work together and then project their work up onto the big screens. So that helps this idea of a learning community. I think that's the biggest, most advantageous aspect of technology, is that it does bring people together, even though they're not sometimes physically together. Does that answer your question?
Aparte de estos programas específicos que mencionó, dice que uno de los más importantes es grabar la presentación de sus alumnos en sí para luego volver sobre ello. Tienen este espacio estudio virtual que, como mencionó antes, se posicionan los alumnos de una manera mucho más interactiva con el profesor en el medio del aula. Y no sé si dijo algo más. Y luego tienen el...
¿Did you say Mahara?
Mahara. Que es un espacio también que tienen los alumnos para individualmente entrar y grabar pues las ideas, críticas, conceptos que han visto cuando han salido y cuando han estado en la comunidad. Vale.
Muy bien. José Luis, por favor.
Thank you very much for the ideas you have presented. I'm not an expert in service learning, so I have learned a lot. And particularly for me, it has been very interesting, the idea about combining different active methodologies. For example, flipped classroom and service learning. In meta-analysis about the effects of service learning, different effects of light and moderate, at light and moderate levels have been found. But I suppose that if service learning is combined with another active methodologies like flipped classroom or project-based learning, so those effects will be enhanced. So it's very interesting to combine those methodologies. And another idea that for me it has been very interesting is the one about co-assessment.
Yes.
What about the assessment made by the community? Because the students are also accountable to the community. Mm-hmm. Do you think that we should give a role as assessors to the community actors? Thank you.
Thank you.
¿Podrías ahora brevemente, mucho más brevemente, decirlo en español?
Sí, lo que he querido decir en inglés, que no sé si se me ha entendido muy bien, es que, en primer lugar, en los metaanálisis, el aprendizaje servicio ha demostrado ser una metodología que tiene unos tamaños de efecto ligeros y moderados. Y me ha parecido muy interesante que se combine con el aula inversa, porque si dos metodologías activas se utilizan al mismo tiempo, probablemente los efectos sobre el aprendizaje se verán también potenciados. Esto es una idea para futuras investigaciones. Yo no sé si se ha hecho algo de esto, pero suena interesante en principio, y por eso le agradezco a Susan que haya presentado este ejemplo. Y en segundo lugar, también me ha parecido interesante el tema de la coevaluación entre los estudiantes, y le he preguntado por el papel que también podría tener la comunidad, los agentes comunitarios, en la evaluación de los estudiantes, porque los estudiantes también son responsables ante la comunidad.
Gracias.
Okay. Thank you for that, and I agree with you that it does enhance using the different methods. But I think it's an important question because it is about mutuality. So one would expect communities to be quite engaged with the process of service learning. I have thought about this in my own situation, teaching service learning in Glasgow, but there is a lot of bureaucracy about assessment and assessors. And because the communities are constantly changing, we have to undergo rigorous who can assess. It would be difficult, I think, for lay people, with all due respect, if that is their work, to work in a voluntary organisation, then to assess in an academic situation. And I think we need to question what it is they're assessing. If it's to do with skills, perhaps, that's related to the community agency, maybe. But as I said, there are some bureaucratic problems that I've encountered, where the university would perhaps not register a person outside the university who's not employed by the university to be an assessor. But I think we could actually perhaps engage community partners in the context of the university setting, perhaps by students presenting to them, perhaps having a voice in that respect. And I think, as I said in my talk, that perhaps we could have community partners engaged in different ways rather than assessment, perhaps in setting learning goals. So to say to students, what kind of skills would you like to develop while you're with us in giving service? So they may be like leadership skills or communication skills. So maybe community partners could be more involved in different ways as well. I don't know if that answers your question.
Bueno, sí lo ha pensado, dice, el papel de la comunidad en este programa, pero que por desgracia hay muchas dificultades, sobre todo mucha burocracia, y como las cosas en la comunidad, específicamente será en Glasgow, cambian continuamente, es difícil de valorar. Y luego también tiene un poquito de dudas ante qué tipo de valoración podrían hacer personas, dice ella, entre comillas, de la calle, pues que a lo mejor no tienen demasiados conocimientos a la hora de poder valorar estos temas.
Profesora Naval.
Thank you, Professor Dilley, for your talk, and thank you for coming so far from here. Taking into account that we have a professional translator, I will...
Not professional.
Not professional. But you did very well.
Thank you.
So I will propose my question in Spanish, taking into account our audience. Me ha gustado la presentación, especialmente en la parte donde se ha hablado sobre los beneficios, aquellas cuestiones que podrían ser más destacadas en el aprendizaje de los alumnos, que mejoran el aprendizaje de los alumnos. Y pensando en ese tema, en diversos momentos, hablando con los alumnos en la universidad donde trabajo y en otras que están implicados en actividades de aprendizaje-servicio, me gusta preguntarles qué es para ellos lo más valioso de lo que han hecho. O dicho de otra manera, qué buscan y qué encuentran cuando se implican en estas actividades. Y muchos de ellos, para muchos de ellos, no sé la experiencia de quienes están aquí, que soy, muchos de vosotros quizás estáis también implicados en esto, contestan que son precisamente los aprendizajes, diremos, no utilitaristas, los que les han dado más valor. Por ejemplo, cuando han descubierto el valor o el sentido que tiene aquello que están aprendiendo, no por el contenido en sí, sino por lo que les reporta en su manera de ver el mundo o en su manera de sentir esa realidad social que les rodea. Y personalmente pensaba que probablemente esta es una de las cuestiones, entre otras, más valiosas que podemos aportar, aunque no sea tan cuantificable en todos esos rankings que tenemos que cumplir o que suplementar. Gracias.
That help students for a better learning. And while she has been talking to her own students and students all across universities in Spain, she found that the comments usually are what the students say, the most valuable things that they've learned, that's what interests her. And they come back with things that it's not the specific learning, but more how it's changed their view of the world and how it's impacted on them on a more personal level.
Yes, yes.
And if you have found this yourself.
Absolutely. Yes, totally. It's a wonderful, I think, a privileged position to be teaching service learning because of that. I think maybe more motivated students opt to choose service learning in the first place, but It is a very deep learning, and I think the role of emotion does play a part. And yes, they have gone on to do different things. My students have gone on to do PhDs in the area in which they gave service. Some have gone on to do volunteering internationally abroad. It does change lives, and it's a privilege to be part of that.
Pues ella ha encontrado que normalmente son los alumnos más motivados que suelen ser los que participan más en estos programas, que luego después del del grado o el posgrado, pues algunos de sus alumnos han ido a hacer pues trabajos voluntarios e involucrarse mucho más en la comunidad. Pero suelen ser esos alumnos que ya en un principio suelen tener más empatía, si digamos, con estos temas. Thank you.
Tenemos tiempo para más. Tenemos tiempo para... Es que tenemos también entre nos a algunos amigos y amigas de Portugal, así que si queredes, que por cierto que ahí tenemos que vincularnos un poquito más. I talking about the presence here, about the friends of Portugal to share more things in the future. Bueno, a mí me gustaría preguntarle y le voy a preguntar un poco sobre, a partir de la experiencia, pero claro, la experiencia es distinta en cada lugar, ¿cuál es el reto fundamental que ella estima para el futuro del aprendizaje servicio en la universidad? Porque aquí hay bastantes paradojas, y una de las paradojas que a mí me parece interesante plantear de vez en cuando es, luego hablaremos un poco más de eso, ¿por qué hay tanto desarrollo del aprendizaje servicio en España y está mucho más contenido en otros lugares, ¿no?
From your experience, what is the main challenge for the future in relation with service learning in Scotland, but in Europe in general? And what do you think about
the main challenge for the future? In higher education.
I think perhaps the support from universities is important.
Está diciendo que quizás el apoyo de las universidades, que puede ser lo fundamental, ¿no? Support of the...
Yeah, and I think because we have reflective classes, they usually are very small, and universities, from my point of view, seem to want to have larger classes, because it's cost effective.
Avanzar en la calidad de la enseñanza, reduciendo el tamaño de clases, formando más a los profesores y pidiéndole un poquito más de compromiso con lo que dicen o con lo que decimos hacer en relación con aquello que puede servir para la vida social de los estudiantes y para su profesión. Thank you. ¿Alguna? Okay. Pues okay. It's enough. Thank you very much for your presence here, and we
Thank
hope
you.
To see you again
I
here
hope
or
yes, thank you very much indeed.
In Scotland.
Yes, indeed. Okay. You're most welcome. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.